I don't know if it's even normal to say this because I said it yesterday and then I was listening to the podcast and I was like, I kind of sound like a creepy lady when I say it.
Good. So you should say it again.
Right.
Good. Definitely.
Jason Sudeikis has gotten progressively hotter. And he won for lead actor in a comedy series at the Emmys the other night for Ted Lasso. And I have become such a huge Ted Lasso fan.
Right.
And there's something about him that gets more and more attractive. First of all, he wore a crushed velvet suit and he looked good. He looked really good.
Mm. You got to keep the lint off the crushed velvet suit. And that is a challenge. Mm. So if you can keep all the lint off of it when you get up there, that's half the battle.
But then I started thinking about it. And I remember when he broke up, it was a very public breakup with Olivia Wilde.
Mm-hmm.
And they have two children together. And she, I don't know why they broke up. He says he doesn't know why they broke up. But she's now dating Harry Styles from One Direction, who is 10 years younger and kind of like a sex symbol in his own right.
I was going to say, I mean, Harry Styles, kind of a big deal.
But I felt so bad for him. And I remember when that happened and like he was so sad in all his interviews. I was like, aw, Jason Sudeikis. And then
now you want to save him. Now he's smoldering. Maybe that's like, part of it. Maybe it's the psychological effect of he was down and now he's back. And the fact mm-hmm. that he's on top again is attractive, right? I mean, power is attractive.
And he's getting paid $1 million an episode.
But like I said, power is super attractive.
I feel like if I'm Olivia Wilde, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Was that bad? But then I'm like, you know what? Harry Styles, not so bad either, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Harry Styles is going to have his ups and downs, too. Another album release. He'll be on top of the world. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. Are there anybody like celebrities that you can think of as they've gotten older, their stock has gone up? They were like, all right before, but now you're like, man, they're pretty hot.
I could play this game all day. Mm-hmm. Top of mind, Kim Cattrall. Kim Cattrall was an actress in B-level, C-level movies before Sex and the City and just grew to be so fine, so hot.
I don't know if I agree with that.
See, this is the flip side of your creepy coin. You wanted a piece of this, now you got it. Kate Beckinsale, definitely gotten hotter with age. She was just another actress before. Mm. Elizabeth Hurley, definitely hotter with age.
I disagree. Sandra Bullock. All these.
She was attractive when she was younger, Sandra Bullock, but she was, you know, regular. And now she's Sandra Bullock.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why I opened this can of worms.
Helen Mirren. Woo! What's up with them legs, Dame?
Helen Mirren?
Yeah.
Okay, let's stop. That's enough.
I mean, it's not natural how well she's put together.
Okay. So, fights breaking out at concerts, that's nothing new, right?
Sure.
But a fight broke out at an Olivia Rodrigo show during her song Driver's License, which seems like the strangest thing ever. Here's what it sounded like. Listen to this guy singing karaoke as he's fighting. Right now, fists are just flying.
So wait a minute. So, I mean, he's not fighting.
He's videoing this.
Yeah, he's videoing.
He's in the middle of the
scuffle.
He's
not actually fighting because, I mean, he'd be out of breath.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He'd be out of breath, but obviously he's saving his breath there to sing.
Mm-hmm. And there's a scuffle. There's moms involved. There's tween girls, as you would expect at Olivia Rodrigo show.
Definitely bring the violence here, right? I mean, she's only on for X amount of minutes. Why don't you just sit there and enjoy the show?
But it seems so strange to me. Like, there's certain songs that you listen to. You're like, you don't fight. Like, you go to like a hard rock concert or whatever, like you can expect to see things go down in the pit, right?
You know, I'll tell you something. The craziest show I ever went to was a Britney Spears show.
Get out of here.
I'll tell you right now, because the people, and I was down in the floor area.
Yeah.
Because the people were so crazy to get to her, and the grown people, the adults that were there. Oh, my God. The things that they were saying. I mean, this was a long time ago. This was like, you know, the early 2000s.
Yeah.
The things that they were saying about her, not cool.
Really?
Not cool at all. It was really wacky.
I was thinking about it. I'm like, you know, like, think of this song.
Yeah.
Like, you don't imagine that fists are going to start flying during this.
Unless it's your ex. No.
Right.
No,
exactly.
No. Besides that, no.
What do you think are the top songs of all time that you should never get into a fight at?
This one reminds me of my mother.
How do you fight to this?
You don't.
You can't.
I think you go to a spa.
What is this, Enya?
Yeah. I think all you do is go to a spa with this, right?
Right.
My mom would love this stuff, and I just I don't know. I felt weird just even being in her presence while she was listening to it.
Imagine your mom at a spa listening to Enya.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, from the back left corner comes a tween's mom and just, like, clotheslines her right in the
face. Well, if they want... somebody's going to clothesline my mom. There's going to be hell to pay.
How about this song?
We're going to come back on them.
You're listening to some Dolly Parton.
You can get close. If you clothesline my mom to Dolly Parton, there's going to be a problem, too.
Right there, you get a karate punch right to the face. Seems ridiculous, right?
Yeah, Dolly seems like a very nice person. I don't want to imagine her involved in a fight.
I saw a text that just came in. Hold on, let me read it.
Yeah.
Worst song to fight to?
Yeah.
Anything by Cocomelon. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If you're happy and you know.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't make any sense. How about this one right here? That's a nice reflective moment. Maybe at a wedding or something like that, huh? I see trees of green. Definitely get into a fist fight at that.
You get punched right in the face right now.
I mean, right
there.
Right,
you're swaying, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here comes a fist complaining.
Feels
your face.
Awkward.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Feels awkward.
Uh-huh. 1-800-330-9999. It's another round of What Makes You Cheap.
I don't know if cheap is the word. Practically speaking, all right, I guess it's a little bit cheap.
There's a difference between cheap and frugal. Frugal I can bear with. Cheap is, it's annoying.
So I was working in my yard over the weekend, and I'm getting a bunch of stuff done. And I look across the street, and my neighbor directly across is doing the same thing at that time. And he's not often working out in the yard. He typically hires people to do it. One thing that I hired people to do a couple years ago was put pine trees all along the perimeter of his house. He's got a neighbor on the other side of that he doesn't want to look at their property. So they've come back at least three times since then because 3, 4, maybe 5 of the trees, and there's like 30 of them total, are just dead, right? They just won't grow no matter what. There's water over there. There's all sorts of stuff. He's put all sorts of time and effort into it, and they won't grow. They just turn totally brown. I come across my yard on Saturday while I'm working out there, and he's spray painting the trees. He's spray painting his actual pine trees.
What?
Yes. He was spray painting the trees green.
Oh, green?
Yeah.
I thought he was trying to be retro, making them like gold or something.
No. He was spray painting the trees green so that they look like they're healthy pine trees that are growing. To which I said, Mark, are you spray painting your trees?
Right.
So he turned around and he said, that's 100% what I'm doing. He's like, I don't want to pay to have them replanted again.
Okay.
Right at that moment.
But did they look like they were alive when he spray painted them green? What shade of green did he get?
I don't know if they look alive. I didn't really get up close to see the shade of green. They look better than they looked before.
All right.
I can tell you that. And I think that they're kind of blending in.
Nice.
I don't know if this is going to be a thing where he's got to retouch them. I don't know if it was some sort of specific paint or something like that.
Yeah.
But he spray painted like 4 trees green.
Nice work.
It was wild.
Saved himself a ton of money.
I've heard about them doing this at like golf courses and stuff like that, especially when there's like big televised events that's going to be coming up. They'll spray paint different areas because, I mean, golf courses, even with the best crew, they'll get some dead spots of their grass. And I'm thinking to myself, am I the idiot that's spending all the money trying to get the products to actually get the grass healthy?
Mm-hmm.
Should I just be spray painting my lawn?
Yes. The answer is yes. Clearly.
I mean, his trees definitely look better.
Do you think I could, I kill every flower in my yard. Do you think I could spray paint a couple of rose bushes?
I really don't know. It was the first time I had ever seen it. But the truth is that I had heard this before, again, just with golf courses and stuff. But I thought it was like, you know, just something they do for TV.
Well, I think that there's certain things you do that just make you cheap. I mean, I get it. If you failed 5 times at that tree and it's like they're expensive every time you want to replant them, just spray paint them.
I know it's at least the 3rd tree that's been in that spot. I know that.
Yeah, I realized the other day that one of the cheapest things I do lately is, you know, like when you go to fast food places and you take the napkins and you put them in your car?
Sure.
I've gone a step further, and now I steal all the napkins at the fast food places, McDonald's, Taco Bell, Burger King, and I home, because I don't want to buy napkins for home.
No, I can't do that. I can't go that far.
Yeah,
I don't like those
Starbucks
napkins for home.
No. The Starbucks ones are trash because they're like recycled and the consistency is weird.
Okay.
But all the other ones...
Those are actually better for the planet, but that's what makes them terrible.
Right.
Right, but, I understand.
I'll take like a handful of McDonald's napkins, and I can't remember the last time I bought actual napkins for my home.
I can't do the regular... I can't do store napkins when I'm at home. I got to have Bounty.
I had an old co-host that he would re-give cards. So he had like a birthday card, an anniversary card, and he would never sign them. Hmm. And he would hand them to the person, and then he would ask for them back, and then he would reuse them all the time. Isn't that the cheapest thing you ever heard?
It's pretty terrible. You know that I will use a card no matter what it's for. I will repurpose a card.
Right.
So I have all sorts of cards. Like if I see cards that I like, I buy those cards. And then what happens is those cards just sit unused in a closet or a drawer at my house for years and years. So I will reappropriate those cards. So I don't care if it's a Valentine's Day card. If it's really nice and I like it, you might get it for Christmas.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'll cross it out. I'll make it make sense. You know, I'll write things in there too.
What is the cheapest thing that you do? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Anna and Raven.
When I was younger, my mom was so cheap that instead of replacing the lock, she'd have us tie it.
With what? Rope?
Yeah, just some rope. We'd have to, we'd tie rope every day, every week, anytime we had to, anytime it broke.
You mean like the front door lock? You would tie your front door closed?
Yes.
Oh, man. Mom wasn't cheap. Mom was broke. Just so you guys know, you should buy your mom a new lock today.
That's terrible.
Just for the sake of it. Your mom wasn't cheap. She was broke, using rope to keep you all safe.
That's awful.
Dang, mom does what she's got to do, though.
Yeah.
You do what you got to do.
Yeah, she did.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What makes you cheap?
Yeah, so I learned it from my mom, who learned it from my grandma, but I'm always adding water to everything to just kind of extend the life of it. So I add water to ketchup. I add water to dish soap. Anything you can think of that I can thin out and draw it out, I'm going to do it.
I mean, I know the soap thing, and I'm not against the soap thing. All right, I need a couple more hand washes out of this. I'm going to get that soap out of there. I'm with that. But ketchup?
Like watered down ketchup just sounds nasty.
Just saying it.
Yeah.
Saying it is hard for me right now to listen to.
Yeah.
I mean, if I need to be cheap in that way in regards to ketchup, I'm just going to go hang out at some fast food joint and steal all the ketchup packets from the condiment area.
Right.
That's what I'm going to do.
That's smart.
Whew.
Yep. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What makes you cheap?
I always ask for tap water whenever I go to a restaurant. Either it's at the table or at the drive-thru. I don't care.
You know, why do we feel so awkward about this?
I don't know.
Because I have been in the car when somebody's done it, and I feel like I need to apologize to the person in the drive-thru window. And that's so stupid. Like, a bottled water should not cost
$3. Exactly.
Everything about that is wrong. And the tap water on ice actually tastes better sometimes.
Oh, no, I take a stand on it because I found that a lot of restaurants were doing that. They're like, would you like Pellegrino, like, you know, fine flat water or tap water? And now, like, you know how everyone kind of awkwardly looks at each other? I will always pipe up first and I'll be like, tap water.
Give me the tap.
Water. I'll take the tap water.
Give me the tap. If you bring the hose spigot out here, I'll just handle it right now
myself. I'll put it right to my mouth. I'll drink right out of the hose. I got no shame.
Good for you for doing it. You know, your kids must hate it, but good for you for doing it.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. I saw this text come in, Raven, and it's been bothering me.
Okay.
Because I started thinking about it.
Uh-huh.
All right. If you put your sock and shoe on the right foot before you put your sock on the left foot, that's all I need to know about you. I always, so like if you start by putting your shoes on the right foot versus the left foot.
Sure.
Then there's insinuating that you're doing it incorrectly. And I thought about it. Because I go, oh my gosh.
What do I do? Right.
And I always start with my left foot. Every single situation, I always start by putting my shoe on my left foot or my sock on my left foot. And then I move on to the right. And I don't know why. Is it because that's the way we read left to right that it feels logistically correct?
I mean, I think I probably put my socks on with my right foot first before my left. But okay, relax. I just feel like I've got better balance on that foot when I go to one foot on there. You know, I get dressed in the hallway, at 4 a.m. in the dark, essentially, so I don't wake everybody else up in the house. But I never thought about the order I put my shoes on. I just put my shoes on in whatever order. I think I throw them on the ground, and whichever one's closest to my hand is the one that's going on first.
That's interesting because I always do it the same way, left to right. And I didn't ever think about it until I got this text. And I realized, like, if I had to do it backwards,
yeah,
it would feel funny.
What would happen to you?
What would happen?
It would change your whole day. You should try it tomorrow, maybe.
Imagine it's like you go into like a parallel universe.
Could be. You get hit by a freight train. Anything could happen there if you reverse just that little thing.
So strange.
It is weird.
If you don't follow us on Instagram, follow us at Anna and Raven. I posted a picture last night, and I want you to look at it and tell me if I'm being mean, okay? Because somebody wrote that I was being mean, but I can't. If you use gym locks to lock your trunk.
Padlocks, right. Yeah. Padlocks.
Well, I call them gym locks because like you see them at the gym.
On a locker.
Like the ones on the lockers.
Right.
That's all I need to know about you. I was at a red light behind a car and I took a picture because I'm 7 years old and I posted it to our Instagram at Anna and Raven.
Yeah.
And on both sides of the trunk, there's the padlock to keep the trunk closed.
Very secure.
But
no question it's secure.
Why? Why would you do that?
You know, when I saw the photo, too, it's not a car that looks like it was really in an accident. So, you know, for the amount of money that you spent on the padlocks and drilling the holes in the quarter panels and the trunk itself, you probably could have had the trunk latch fixed.
Well, that's what I thought.
But, you know, I mean, who knows what they transport in that trunk? Maybe the trunk latch just isn't strong enough in their neighborhood. All right. Maybe they've been broken into a couple times. They're like, you know what? I'm going to solve this problem once and for all. Or they had a couple extra padlocks running around. Right? They quit the gym. They're out of high school. They got no use for these padlocks. They were like, this is where they're going.
It's the one that doesn't even have, like, you know how some have the numbers on it? This isn't that. This is the one that has the key. So now you have to carry two keys to your trunk everywhere you go if you need to get, like, your case of water out from Costco.
You know, here's the funny thing. We don't even know if the trunk latch itself was actually inoperable. This could be added security. So, you know, you could be the fool here. In that car could be gold bars or something like that that needs to be protected. Maybe they're doing organ transport.
Maybe.
All right? There could be a kidney in the back of that Honda.
I think if you look at this picture, you're going to guess there's not organs back there. But if I was a cop and I pulled behind this car, I would certainly pull it over.
Open it up.
I did something. And even though it was supposed to make me clean, it made me feel very, very icky inside.
Right.
I haven't taken a public shower in a long time.
And by public shower, you don't mean like, you know, naked on the beach or anything
no,
like that.
Let's not get crazy. You know, be better than that. So I teach Zumba every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. at a YMCA. And I had a event that was really close that was about 3 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I was cutting it close with my class and getting to the event on time.
So you weren't going to be going home. It had to happen right there.
So I was like, they have showers. Like, stop being a baby. Like, you don't have to go home to shower. Shower there. It'll be 5 minutes. You just have to clean yourself up and get the sweat off you, and you can move on with your life. Blow out your hair and go.
Let's be fair. This hasn't been happening in buildings like this for a while now, over the last year or so. Even if they're opening up, a lot of people have been hesitant due to COVID.
So I didn't realize how strange it would make me feel to go into a locker room again. And whenever I work out of the gym, I'm never the person that showers at the gym. Like, I always go home to shower, you know? And I walk in there, and it's all the teenage girls because they have like a swim meet. So now I'm like self-conscious because I'm like, okay, I got to get in this shower and there's all these teenage girls there.
Yeah, they're young and nubile. You know, right? Their bodies are tight. Right.
Well, I wasn't really looking at that, Raven.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, yeah. No, yeah.
All right.
So, you know.
I mean, I know that you're looking at yourself. All I'm saying is, you know, right. Okay.
So I got all my stuff and I almost don't even know what to do. Because I'm like, do I take my clothes off in the dressing area and put the towel around me and walk to the shower? Or do I undress in the shower and hang everything over the side and hope it doesn't get wet? And do I leave my phone outside or do I bring it in the shower with me?
Wow, there was a lot of decisions.
So many things that were happening in my head. So I'm like, stop being a baby. I go, no one's going to steal your stuff. Put it on the outside. Wrap yourself in the towel.
Right.
Like, run inside the shower. And I get in the shower, and, like, their soap is nasty, right?
So,
but I'm like, listen, this is what I got. I got to work with what I got here. So I take the coldest, fastest shower of my life.
Right.
Okay. And then I get out, and I'm dripping wet, and, like, all these girls are looking at me, and I'm like, I'm the only one showering in here. And then I'm wondering, are we allowed to shower in here anymore? And then I realize, oh my gosh, I'm barefoot.
Oh my, what?
I forgot my flip-flops.
I mean, I was already going to ask you, what are you doing using the place's soap? I mean, who doesn't bring their own soap or body wash or something? You're barefoot in a public shower?
Can you imagine?
I can't believe you're still alive.
I know.
Like, I've been to the gym shower before.
Yeah.
Okay? And when you see an older person in the men's locker room barefoot showering, I have seriously questioned whether or not that person will survive another 30 days.
I know.
Athlete's foot can kill you at a certain age.
It's so bad. It was so bad. And then, like, I didn't realize it until I was in there. And I looked down at my feet. I go, oh, my God. They were all looking at me because I don't have shoes on.
Oh, my gosh.
It's disgusting.
You should have wore your sneakers from Zumba class. It would have been safer.
Who am I? Those are my new Nikes. I can't wear those. And the sponge on the bottom of the shower.
Oh, what a terrible decision.
I know. And I realized, like, no matter whenever you take a shower that's not at home.
Yeah.
It's always terrible.
Oh, it is disgusting.
And, like, it can literally ruin your day. Something that's supposed to make you so clean can ruin your day.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely appalling.
Yeah.
So when you're in there, what is the grossest part about taking a shower? It's a water pressure is a big thing. You know, I just checked out of a hotel in Florida, left the hotel, checked in one night, took a shower the next morning, immediately went to the front desk and said, I cannot stay here, went to the next hotel because it was like needles. It was actual, like, nails in my back here. And I didn't even have a sunburn at that point. Like, you know, water pressure alone is one thing.
How come we don't wear flip-flops in the bathroom at the hotel?
You know, it's showers. A very valid question,
kind of
actually.
The same exact thing.
On the soap dispenser, did they have, like, the dribble of the soap there?
Oh, yeah. Hold on. We're going to get to that. That's coming up next.
Ugh.
According to this new study, where do you think the nastiest spot in your bathroom is?
Behind the toilet, the floor, the 4 inches of space behind the toilet to the wall.
You're right. That is disgusting, but that's actually not the right answer.
I would do that. That's just because you can't get to it anyways.
Right. You, like, have to really get down there to scrub that.
Yeah. Nobody wants to get their face that close to a toilet.
It's true. Nope. The nastiest spot in your bathroom, according to this new study, is the towel rack because it's rarely cleaned. That's where the damp towels are, you know, put, and it's an ideal breeding ground for harmful microorganisms and bacteria.
I guess that does make some sense, right? Yeah. I never really thought of that before.
Yeah, I took a public shower over the weekend in a locker room.
I can't believe it. And no shoes.
No shoes. I haven't taken a shower in a locker room in many, many years. I always go home after the gym, like immediately home to shower.
Sure.
But I didn't have time before a work event. So I felt so awkward because I was so out of practice. Yeah. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do with my towel after I used it and it was soaking wet. So I just threw it in the garbage.
You threw your towel in the garbage?
It was, in my defense, it was an older one anyway, but I didn't know what to do.
I mean, you're a maniac. Seriously. I mean, if you were going to throw it in the garbage, you should have at least stood on it and protected your feet from the nasty mat that was in the public shower stall.
How was I going to shower? I needed it to dry off.
Oh, my gosh. This is all crazy.
Forgot the shoes. It was terrible. But then I started thinking about it. It's like anytime you shower and you're not at home, it is so awkward.
Yeah. I mean, it's a long list of reasons why it's not cool. And I don't even care. It doesn't have to be a public place. I mean, you could just be at a friend's house.
That's true.
Like, you could be at a family member's house where it's clean and it's been prepared for you and whatnot.
So you're at a friend's house.
Yeah.
And you have to take a shower there for whatever reason.
Right.
Do you use their bar soap?
No, never. I would never use their bar soap unless it was brand new and it came out. First off, I'm not a bar soap guy. Mm. I'm a body wash guy anyways. And I told you I'm carrying all my own stuff. I mean, I got like a Ziploc, like I'm going through TSA security. Like I still got the Ziploc with me. And here in there is going to be my shampoo, my conditioner, my body wash, all that stuff.
I treat my friends' bathrooms like the all-you-can-eat sampler at Costco. Because if I go in there, I use their soaps. I use their shampoo.
Oh, my gosh.
I use their conditioners.
Oh.
If I'm at my mom's house, I'll even use her razor.
I'm trying to think of the worst part of going to somebody else's shower, right? Because the towels don't feel the same. It's not the same fabric softener and detergent, right? So they either got awesome towels or the towels are terrible.
Right.
You get in there, and if they haven't, like, you could have a clean shower, but let's say they haven't cleaned, like, the dried soap off the shampoo bottle.
Ugh.
Or in this case, I see one speck of hair on a hanging razor in there. We could be family. I love you. We know each other. We share DNA. I don't ever want to know that about you.
See, it doesn't bother me.
No, gosh.
No, it doesn't bother me at all.
All that is disgusting to me.
We go to a house skiing every year up in Vermont. It's Danielle, my best friend's house, right?
Yeah.
And we always stay in the same room.
Oh, I feel like you're going to tell me something terrible right now. Given the fact that I know your track record with your family and sharing towels and stuff.
We've been using that same bar of soap, I think, since 2017.
Oh, my gosh.
Still good. Works great every single time.
And it's in her guest room.
Yeah. No, I guess that is nasty when you say it out loud, right? Yeah.
Oh, man.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Three of the biggest news stories today, but you only get to hear about one, and Raven selects it. He picks it. All right, Raven, you ready?
Yep.
Number one, football referees purposely trapped in locker room.
That's where they belong.
Number two, a woman quit her job at Walmart over the PA.
Always interesting.
Number three, man faces 7 years in prison for a 43-cent theft.
I don't want to feel bad about anything, so let's go with the quitting Walmart.
Okay. A woman named Beth used the PA system to quit her job at Walmart in Louisiana last week. She says the employees are overworked and underpaid, but it's better if you listen to her tell yourself. Ready?
All right, let me hear from Beth.
Attention Walmart shoppers and associates, my name is Beth from Electronics. I've been working at Walmart for almost 5 years, and I can say that everyone here is overworked and underpaid. We're told that we're replaceable. To Jared, our store manager, you're a pervert. Greta and Kathy, I hope you don't speak to your families the way you speak to us. I quit.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Beth sounds like, when you hear the name Beth, you think of such an unassuming, nice woman, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe bakes some cookies for the PTA, you know, does some different things around the neighborhood. You don't think of her calling people out for their perverse mannerisms on the PA system. But you know what? Maybe he is a pervert.
To Jared, our store manager, you're a pervert.
She says it so matter-of-factually.
She's just like, you know what? It's a fact.
Yeah.
You're a perv.
You know, she's not the first one to quit on the PA, but, I mean, it's pretty good use of it, right?
It's the weirdest way you ever quit. You ever...
You know, I haven't really quit all that many jobs without giving notice.
Like, abruptly quit.
Yeah.
The only time I could think about that I quit that was awkward, and it wasn't anything like this, is that I was quitting a radio job, and probably the biggest mistake of my life, I'll be honest. Probably
okay.
Was, and I walked in, and I said, I think I'm going to be giving my 2 weeks. And I wasn't very confident. And he told me to turn around and go back to my desk and that I couldn't quit. And it took me, without exaggeration, 3 weeks to grow, like to get the nerve to go back in there to quit again.
Well, at least you knew that you were sure, though.
Oh, yeah.
At that point, you knew that you were sure.
He was right. I never should have left that job. He was right. I should have accepted it when he told me, no, you're not allowed to quit.
Well, you know, I mean, sometimes that's just the way it goes. You just don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think of times that I actually quit a job. So, you know, I was working construction for a minute when I got out of school. That's what I was doing. And I remember I was building. It was super freezing where we were working. It was like January and we were doing ductwork and there was rain coming down, but there was ice on the stuff that I was working on, too. And it was just running right down my sleeves into my coat.
Yeah,
and it's at that moment that I decided, nope, I'm going to go to college. I put this stuff down, and I left right after lunchtime. I was like, you know, you're sitting around the gang box, hanging out with the guys, having your lunch, and it was just like, yeah, I think this is the last time I'm going to be seeing any of you individuals.
College looks really good right now.
There's got to be a better way. And I only went there for a semester, too, but I was like, there's got to be a better way. Let me go find that.
At least you're not this guy.
To Jared, our store manager, you're a pervert.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I could have ended up there.
What was that field trip that you went on that you'll never forget? 1-800-330-9999. My daughter, Hayden, my 12-year-old, she was like, oh, gosh, I hope they bring back field trips this year.
Wow.
They haven't had field trips in the last couple of years because of COVID.
Yeah.
And I started giggling because, like, remember how excited you would get to go on a field trip when you were little?
Yeah, it's true. And the thing is a lot of times you had no idea what it was. Like, I mean, there would be field trips that some were repetitious. And so, you know, people would talk about it in the school and you'd know what to expect. But there were plenty of field trips. So you had no idea whether or not it was going to be interesting or not.
Mm-hmm.
But you were just so pumped to get on a bus and leave the classroom, which, by the way, something you did every single day. I mean, playing hooky would have been fun, too. But yeah, you get to go somewhere different.
Yeah. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, of course, when you're like very young, you go to like the plays and the museums and all those things. But I'll remember. And I'll never forget, it was like a rite of passage. And I cannot believe that my city sanctioned it. But senior year of high school, there was a trip put on by the school to go to Cancun for spring break for seniors.
It just sounds so absolutely ludicrous to me.
The insane part was, like, my parents were a really strict Italian parents, right?
But they had no idea what it was.
Well, they figured, well, if the school is taking you,
right,
then what's the big deal?
Was there ever any claim of educational value? I want to know. Did you guys go to the pyramid or anything down there?
No,
you just stayed in the hotel zone in Cancun.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I remember it was like you had to pay. Like the school didn't pay for it. You had to pay. And it was like, it was like $500 or whatever it was.
Oh, top notch hotel.
Oh, it was
$500.
Well, because there would be like 150 kids that went. And we would, like, with three chaperones.
Oh, my gosh.
When I think back on it, and if you lived in my town and you remember this, you're probably like laughing, shaking your head right now. And everything that you think goes wrong with a bunch of teenagers in Cancun
100% does.
Happened.
Had to happen.
I think now that if my daughter, either of them, ever came to me and they were like, oh, the school is taking us to Cancun for a field trip, I would be like, nope.
Yeah, you'd laugh them right out of the room. Yeah. See whether or not you could sign up for yourself. If I take my family to Cancun, I need more than three chaperones, 150 students. It's absolutely nuts. You know, I had a very different experience. So I'm thinking about it in my town. They didn't let us do any overnights or crazy trips. And before, you know, I thought that it was because of the things that had happened before with kids in the area. But the truth is I think the teachers just knew their students. And they were like, there's no way we're taking this group of kids for anything overnight. So most of my field trip memories, per se, are like, you know, elementary school, middle school.
Right.
I can remember we always went on the lamest field trips ever. So Mark Twain, the Mark Twain House, it used to be a popular field trip with kids because, again, there's no options around here. Do you know what's in the Mark Twain House?
No.
Anna, do you have any idea?
No.
Nothing.
Oh.
Nothing of interest whatsoever.
Yeah.
There wasn't a playroom, a game room. There isn't a cool gift shop or anything like that.
No.
It's like, oh, look it over here. Here's a desk that Mark Twain sat at and may have wrote a piece of this book at one time. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible trip. Another trip, they would take us to this old, like, colonial village mm-hmm. where people would be, like, churning butter and wearing, like, woolen clothing. You could go to the gift shop there, but everything was made out of wood and string.
It's nice.
Yeah. No electronics, no video games at these places.
What was the best field trip you went on when you were a kid? Doesn't have to be the best, the most memorable that you'll never forget.
I remember we went on a field trip one time to the kids' museum when I was in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid that was like, you know, the rowdy, larger kid in the class, he got stuck. They had a concrete whale out front and he got stuck inside the whale. And somehow he still managed to do that and, you know, get in trouble and be scared and freak out and still be the cool bully kid in the class, too.
Carrie wrote on our Facebook page, went into New York City in eighth grade for a school trip to see a play. Since it was a Catholic school, we stopped at St. Patrick's Cathedral. There was tons of media outside. They sat us and made us sit through the entire Andy Warhol funeral memorial service.
Oh, my gosh.
Imagine you, like, go on a field
trip. You were at Andy Warhol's funeral service.
But you had to go to a funeral on a field trip, and you weren't even planning on that.
And you have no idea who Andy Warhol is when you're in elementary school, right?
Absolutely not.
That's cool, though.
1-800-330-9999. Most memorable field trip you went on?
I graduated Hicksville High School, 1980. We went to Washington, D.C. We learned nothing, but the teachers were a lot smarter than us. We all brought Scope, the mouthwash.
Yes, that you would
put
alcohol
in it with green dye. And they had a raid at the end of the night because they saw, like, I mean, all of us had Scope, so the teachers took it. We know they drank it. We learned absolutely nothing on that trip other than don't dye your Scope green, dye it a different color, and you'll be able to drink it.
Listen,
oh my gosh.
There was no way that every single individual in the graduating class of your year was actually that interested in mouth hygiene.
Right.
So you're right. That was the giveaway is, wow, they're really concerned with plaque buildup and their oral hygiene.
See,
no.
For our year, all the kids would carry around Visine, and I'm going to leave it right at that.
What?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Oh, where'd you go on a field trip?
So we went to the Middletown Sewer Treatment Plant.
Oh, my God.
In, like, 7th or 8th grade.
I went to the exact same place.
Yeah.
I went to the exact same place. What year were you?
What?
So I'm a year below you or above you, Raven. You went to school with my brother at Vinyl.
Oh, yeah. We went to the same place. What a terrible, terrible field trip.
A sewage plant?
Yeah. What were we doing there, by the way? Was it about piping? I can't remember. We went to a tech school. Terrible trip selection, either way.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Where'd you go on a field trip?
Well, I grew up in Poland, so we would go like almost every other year to the depressing place, Auschwitz.
Oh my gosh.
It's just like, no matter what, you always have to go there. And it was just like, oh, dreadful. And you have to drive, like, you know, in a bus for like 2 hours from the place where we are living. But sometimes we would go to like a Krakow, and there's a beautiful cave, gold mine. and it was beautiful. So all the shelter was always awesome, except that one to Auschwitz.
Oh,
yes, I mean, as an alternative to Auschwitz, I'm sure the cave was magnificent.
I mean,
even if the cave had actual bears living in it,
yeah,
it's going to be magnificent at that point.
It's history, I guess,
that's
right?
Crazy. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was history, okay?
You'll never forget that. No,
that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Took a surprising turn.
Yeah. Crystal wrote on our Facebook page, we were asking the field trip you'll never forget from when you were young. She went to London her junior year and Rome her senior year. I want to go to that high school.
I mean, that sounded like an awesome high school. When I got to high school, I had a shop teacher. He would just take us to like different factories where they made like gauges and stuff for air conditioning. It was pretty lame.
On our text line, I went to the circus and I was so scared of the clowns. A chaperone had to sit next to me on a bench next to the hot dog stand for most of the show.
Oh, the kid with the chaperone. That's no fun to be either.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What was the most memorable field trip you took growing up?
New York World's Fair in 1964.
Wow. Okay. I mean, that's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, they've made movies centered around that at this point. You're in the middle of, like, the Marvel Universe, Men in Black, all that cool stuff. What do you remember the most about the World Fair?
One of the cool kids got lost, and they had his picture up on the screen in the RCA building, and it was throughout the whole park.
You know he wasn't lost. You know he was, like, sneaking away doing something. Something he wasn't supposed to be doing.
They sure, we weren't doing what we were supposed to do the whole time we were there.
God bless you. Sounds right. Fun.
I think sixth grade is when you stop actually, like, doing what you're supposed to do on field trips. And you just try to, like, sneak around and do other things, right? That's the grade?
I guess so.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Where'd you go on a field trip?
Boston, eighth grade. It was during the wintertime. And we got stuck in a snowstorm.
Where were you headed in Boston?
We were actually heading from a restaurant, I believe, back to our hotel. And we had to walk all the way back because our bus could not get through the streets because of the snow.
I mean, they'll make kids do anything when the school bus breaks down.
Right.
Right?
They'll make every man for himself.
Yeah, it's insane, right? Like trudging through a snowstorm in Boston. Can you imagine?
Yeah. You'll never forget it. You learned survival skills, too, that weekend.
Right. Pick the wrong day to wear cotton shoes. Right.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Where'd you go on a field trip?
Okay. So when I was in high school, my freshman year, they took us all to Outback, as in like Outback Steakhouse, the restaurant, to teach us about Australian culture.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
Yeah. Hey, mate.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah, they all talk just like that, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
The size of the blooming onions in Australia.
Just because they hang a didgeridoo on the wall doesn't mean that they know anything about what they're talking about.
Imagine one day you go to Sydney and you just are looking for the blooming onion factory. You can't find it anywhere.
There's a lot of appropriation going on here. No good.
That's hilarious.
Exactly. I mean, it was delicious and it was fine, but I don't think it served the purpose they were saying.
Yeah. It served a meal for $12.99 is what it served to all of you teenage individuals right there during the day.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Where did you go on a field trip?
Yeah, so I grew up in Richmond, Virginia, and I actually went on a tour of the Philip Morris plant.
Wait, do they give you cigarettes? No.
No, they can't do that. I mean, they're kids.
That's
take
so
this
funny.
Home to Ma. Boy. Wow.
Did you think it was strange at the time?
No. I mean, we were young, so we were just kind of like looking around and seeing how everything was done and stuff like that. Upon, you know, getting older and reflecting, I was like, oh, maybe that was not the best place to take a bunch of third graders. But, you know,
I guess it
was a different time.
I wonder if they still do it.
Well, you know, I bet you they do in some ways, but it's all about liability, right? Like nowadays they wouldn't do it because you know what cigarettes do to people. But on the other hand, it's a huge factory, probably what? And around that area, I mean, if half the town isn't working there, who are they working for probably, right?
Yeah, but you wouldn't take a bunch of kids to a distillery, teach them how to, you know, or...
I mean, you don't teach them, but it shows like, you know, how a factory works, a lot of like automation and...
I guess.
I mean, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, if the school was next door to Sam Adams, we might be there. Who knows? We don't know.
It's true.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us and let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you just decide who's right. Alex and Nora. Alex, let's start with you. What's going on?
You know, I've been doing a lot of reflection and stuff, and I've decided that I want to go back to school to get my master's because I want to become a teacher.
Okay, and what's the problem with that?
Good for you.
Well... I'm not getting a lot of support because I've been told that I've changed my mind too many times and we can't take on more school debt for me to go back and get my master's.
Nora, is that true?
I mean, I wouldn't quite say like, oh, you've changed your mind and that's why I'm not supporting you. He has gone back. This will be the third time. And when every time he goes back, he isn't working. And so then all the financial burden falls on me. We just cannot take on any more from educational endeavors. You're never too old to be what you want to be. But we have bills to pay and we just keep getting ourselves into more and more debt. And our goal was to try to be debt free by the end of this year. And we're nowhere near that. And so I feel like it just continues to have a negative financial burden on us and the lifestyle that we want to live.
It's true. I mean, when you have a new interest, you're pulled towards it. And Anna, I mean, it's been a long time doing this, but certainly you've worked a job before where you're unhappy going to work every day. And when you're unhappy, it's difficult. It's difficult to get up. It's difficult to get motivated. And you want to find that new thing. On the other hand, like you said, I mean, at some point, practically speaking, you have to make money.
So, Alex, what do you do now?
Right now, I work in real estate, it's just terrible. I thought it was going to be something good, and it was fine for a while, but it's really just soul-sucking, and I can't continue to do it anymore. I feel like there's really no passion there. It's just void of anything, you know, fulfilling in any way. I know now that kids and working with kids are going to make me happy because I can make a difference in their lives. It doesn't matter if I sell a house, you know, it's fine for those people. They made some money or they're in a new place for a little while. But I mean, when I'm changing lives and making an impact on these kids' lives, like that's really something important.
Ironically, believe it or not, I left teaching to become a realtor because I believe that the kids were soul sucking.
Right. I want to imagine the least enthusiastic realtor whatsoever that you encounter. All right, here it is. Here's your living room. And can't you imagine your family here? God, just somebody hit me with a truck.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. I get it.
How many times have you changed careers? Because I giggled when I received this email because I was a realtor. I was a teacher. Like, I feel like I could check the boxes off everything you've done.
Yeah, I mean, I've done this. This will be like the third shift for sure. But, you know, we're not meant to do one thing for the rest of our lives. You know, people grow, people change, people develop. And I think that in an effort to be true to ourselves, we need to honor that the best we can. And
yeah, but how about poor Nora? Nora goes to work every single day.
Right.
You're going to put more debt on both your shoulders?
She's got to be the adult while you follow your dream. That's tough to say.
And there's so many other ways to enrich yourself. This is the argument that we keep having. You don't have to enroll in a college or university. You can take a small class. There's lots of training, like free things that you can do online.
You know what? People may agree with you. There comes a point where you've changed careers three times. You're going back to school. You keep digging yourself in debt and student debt. Like, you got to stop. You have to be an adult. But they may see Alex's side, too, that isn't that what life's about, is finding passions and trying new things?
Amen. It does make a difference. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Alex has changed careers three times. And, this will be his third time. He wants to become a teacher. So he wants to quit his job. He doesn't want to be a realtor anymore. He wants to go back to school and get his master's degree and become an educator. Now, his wife, Nora, says, I don't want to be the killer of dreams here.
Yeah.
But how many times are you going to keep putting ourselves in debt because you keep changing careers?
Well, that's the thing. There's a flip side to this, right? It's great that Alex can chase his dreams and live free and figure out the thing that really he has passion for. I mean, we all seek that in our life. But Nora, in the meantime, has to be steady. She has to be working this same job the whole time because she's the financial breadwinner in the family because, again, he pursues whatever he wants.
Right. Is she wrong to say, no, this time you can't go back to school, like we can't put ourselves in more debt? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
Hi, good morning. I guess both. I was in another career and I switched to teaching. But I think what he should do is he should go to school at night and work his day job and make sure he likes it before he quits his job to go back to teaching.
Right. 6 months later, he may hate children. Right.
Well, but Raven, you say
thank
that
you
like
for the call.
You say that joking, but I didn't last very long. Like the theory, like I loved the idea of being a teacher until I was actually in the classroom, and it took me like when I finished my master's degree, I was like, you know what? This was a mistake.
But, you know, at least they were high school level. You didn't actually, you know, hate small children.
No.
Just I mean, grown children.
Just teenagers. It was tough. All right, whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Alex has changed careers twice already. And every time he goes back to school, puts them in more financial debt. And he wants to do it again. This time, he wants to do something meaningful. He's ready to become a teacher. But his wife, Nora, definitely not on board.
Listen, having a calling, being, you know, called to action in something, a passion for something, that's fantastic. But sooner or later, practically speaking, she's been getting the short end of the stick, always being the steady one, always keeping the regular job, making sure their finances are straight while he chases whatever he feels like.
Is she being unreasonable by telling him that he can't do this, that he needs to support his family and stop chasing these dreams? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I'm actually on her side, but also he could go online and do it that way because I understand where the burden is coming from. You know, his financial situation and stuff like that. He cannot be selfish. He let him be for two times already, you know? I think it's time for him to actually be an adult and be like, okay, we'll do it online and I'll do what I have to do while I provide while I'm working and studying. We all do it.
Thank you for the call.
Right. Part of the struggle, right?
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
You know what? I'm on her side. I understand his point of view. I'm also the kind of person that's changed careers like three times. However, he can do it a different way. He can become a teacher's assistant first. He can do tutoring or anything like that. He doesn't need to go straight to school.
I agree. I think there's other ways around it. You could find programs where you work for free in the schools and, you know, it covers tuition costs. And I mean, I did that. And then I worked at restaurants at night.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with changing jobs and careers and finding yourself. And nowadays, people change careers on average 2 to 3 times in their lifetime. No question. But, you know, practically speaking, you got bills to pay, right? Yep. And it's not fair for her to always have to pay them. So that's right. The big problem.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on her side. I'm a teacher, and I went back for my master's. And while I did my master's, I taught second grade and ran an after-school program. So there's no reason he should not work full-time while doing his master's, if that's what he wants.
I heard what you said. Get a job.
Yeah, figure
Alex.
It out.
Get a job.
Work
I heard what
harder.
You said. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree. Work harder.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Nora, our audience agreed with you. Alex, what you're doing to your wife just isn't fair. You're basically following all your dreams, which you should, but you're putting the financial hardship kind of on her shoulders. No one said, Nora, do you hate your job? All right, why don't you quit it and go follow a passion too? No, she's the one that keeps having to keep the steady work coming in. So unless you can find a way to help financially support your family while you're doing this, then you need to rethink, you know, what you want to do with your life.
You know, that's definitely something that can be discussed, I guess. I just, you know, she's happy and really fulfilled by her career, and I really just wish that she would be more supportive in my endeavors, and it doesn't look like I'm going to get there, so I guess I'm just going to have to figure a way around it.
I think that's a little untrue. I mean, I do like my job. It took me a long time to figure out what it is that I want to do. And we've had this conversation so many times, you know, it's just the soul searching and being quiet and figuring out what am I being called to and what's my purpose, and not just, you know, oh, there's a big boom in real estate. Let me go hurry up and take classes to do that. I support you. I would love to try different endeavors and maybe even go back to school, but I'm not afforded that opportunity to try to get something, you know, to expand my educational and mental palette because, Dave, you keep going to school.
You don't owe any apologies. I think you've done enough. I think you're doing just fine.
Yeah.
Best of luck to you guys in this situation. I got to tell you,
yep.
Could have some bumps ahead.
You have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
All right, Desiree and Haley, you guys are up. Desiree, Mom, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Desiree.
Okay. We have $2,000 on the line. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. Raven can't hear us. He's out in the hall. We're in a soundproof studio. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I bring him back in and ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You guys ready to play?
We are.
Okay, let's go. Number one, the top three most popular educational TV shows you watched as a kid are 1, Sesame Street, 2, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and 3, this show that starred LeVar Burton. What show is that?
Reading Rainbow.
Number 2, Jason Alexander is among a few stars that are started a support group for people that lost at the Emmys. Jason Alexander starred alongside Gwyneth Paltrow and Jack Black in what 2001 film?
The girl.
All right, time's up.
Oh, no.
Okay, that's okay. Number 3, Dancing with the Stars is back for its 30th season with competitors like JoJo Siwa, Olympian Suni Lee, country singer Jimmy Allen, and this former 90210 star whose girlfriend, Sharna Burgess, is his partner. Come on, Mom, I know you watch 90210.
Jason Priestley.
Oh. Number 4, Disney is redesigning the character Jessica Rabbit to be more modern and more of a detective and not so much as a damsel in distress. She is from what classic movie?
I have no idea.
Jessica Rabbit. Take a guess. Come on, guys.
Who played Roger Rabbit?
And number 5, John Legend's real name is John Stevens. Bruno Mars' real name is Peter Hernandez. Nicolas Cage is Nicholas Coppola. But what artist's birth name was Reginald Dwight?
I don't know. Elton John.
Haley, give me a guess, Haley.
Elton John.
All right, let's bring Raven back in. Was that a guess, Desiree, at the end?
Oh, yeah, that was a guess.
It's a good guess. All right, Desiree and Haley got 3 out of 5.
Okay, let's see how I do.
Number 1, the top 3 most popular educational TV shows you watched as a kid are number 1, Sesame Street, number 2, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and this show, number 3, that starred LeVar Burton. What show was that?
It's Reading Rainbow.
Yes. Number 2, Jason Alexander is among a few stars that are starting a support group for people that lost at the Emmys. Jason Alexander starred alongside Gwyneth Paltrow and Jack Black in what 2001 film?
Gwyneth Paltrow and Jack Black is Shallow Hal.
That is correct.
Shallow Hal.
All right, number 3, Dancing with the Stars is back for its 30th season with competitors like JoJo Siwa, Olympian Suni Lee, country singer Jimmy Allen, and this former 90210 star whose girlfriend, Sharna Burgess, is his partner.
Isn't it Brian Austin Green that's on this year?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize he was dating Sharna Burgess.
Yeah, interesting. Number 4, Disney is redesigning the character Jessica Rabbit to be more modern and more of a detective and not such a damsel in distress.
Okay.
She is from what classic movie?
Roger Rabbit. Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Yes. Yep. And number 5, John Legend's real name is John Stevens. Bruno Mars' real name is Peter Hernandez. Nicolas Cage is Nicholas Coppola. But what artist's birth name was Reginald Dwight?
Reggie Dwight is Elton John, isn't it?
Yes. I'm sorry, ladies. Raven beat you 5-3 this morning. We will hook you up with an Anna and Raven t-shirt, okay?
Awesome. Thank you so much. It's Desiree and Haley, and we can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy those shirts, girls. $2,100 tomorrow.
Yeah, same time. That's the jackpot. Good luck to you then. I'm ready to give away this cash.